28 minutes to 10 on Racing Pulse. Just a couple of tweets from the last hour or so. Ree Werribee. Matt, if RV can't do anything, Ree Werribee Vet Hospital, surely a private group with vested interest and a love of the game could form a consortium and run it for profit, even a joint venture, etc., etc. The response from Stu Valance to that was that Melbourne University say no for OHS reasons, so a bit to plough through there. Good morning, Matt. Please pass on my sincere thanks to Mick Guerin once again for passing on his expertise and providing another winner. That was yesterday. Well done. Sandown is doomed. They will just strangle it to death. May as well rename it Fitzroy. That was from Tony. So that's an interesting one. And a couple of more comments about what the shifting of the Sandown Classic might mean for the future of Sandown from some concerned listeners there. Speaking of concerned listeners, I was a concerned tweet reader yesterday when I read that a very popular trainer, Rob Kingston, has decided to pull the plug after quite a few years here in Australia. He's an Englishman and he's been a really good trainer, but he's decided to jump ship and he joins us. Good morning, Robert.
Morning, Matt. How are you?
I was a bit sad when I read that. Why are you walking away from the game?
I've given it a good go. We've done 10 years and we've had plenty of winners and lots of fun, but I just felt, you know, Matt, you have to commit every year you start another season, you have to commit to new yearlings and young horses, and it's a 2-3 year process. And I don't know, maybe a light bulb moment. I said, no, I don't think my heart's in it for, you know, the next 4 or 5 years. So maybe time to put the family first and try something else. You know, I've actually worked in various parts of the industries before I started training. So I'm very very comfortable with my decision, and whatever will be, will be.
Well, I'll ask you in a minute about what's next for Robert Kingston, but even COVID, I guess COVID sapped the life out of a few people, especially in horse racing where the demands are so high, but when the restrictions were there, it was really tough. It's not a craft or a career that you can continue to do if your heart's not 100% in it?
No, and Matt, I have since young enough to remember, the only thing in our lives in Ireland was, well, not the only thing, but the hobby, the enjoyment. We went racing with our parents. They brought us everywhere. The two brothers, we just racing. And it's something that I love. And I certainly never wanted it. I couldn't imagine thinking myself being sour of it or not enjoying it. So, you know, it's been wonderful to me so far, and I believe it still will be just in another facet of the industry, you know?
Of course you're Irish. I don't know why I said English. Of course you're Irish.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
No one's more disappointed than I am, Robert. I don't know why English came out of my mouth instead of Irish. So what's next? What are you going to do now?
I obviously have some great friends around Mornington. Pat Carey's my neighbour, and I sat down with Pat and Cheryl for a cup of tea one afternoon, and I told him of my concerns or my thoughts going forward, and we spoke a little bit, and we spoke a couple of days later about his very impressive young apprentice, Celine Gaudry, and I told him that would be something that I'd love to do, is maybe manage her career. So I'm going to, in a couple of weeks, if I'm lucky enough to be obtain a jockey manager's license, I'm going to start off managing Celine, obviously Pat's guided her so far and he's done a terrific job, and she's going to get busier and busier, and she's got in my eyes, she's as good a talent as I've seen here in Australia for the experience she's had. So I'm very much on board, myself and Pat, hopefully guide her through the next phase of her career, which is very exciting.
Kent's owners alerted me to Celine Gaudry months and months and months ago, and I've been following her ever since, and she is yet another female who's rising through the ranks really, really quickly. Just back to the factors that led to the decision, were there one or two main things that had just worn you down?
No, I'll tell you what, that my owners will know this, Matt, but I went out to the back track at Mornington last July, one cold, wet, miserable morning, to watch one of my horses trot up after it ran the day before. There was a loose horse on the track. I ran to get out of the way, jumped under a fence, and this wonderful horse got quicker and quicker, took on the fence and took me with it. I actually thought I was dead. for a couple of minutes. Then I realized I was alive, but I broke a few ribs, ended up in the ambulance on the way to hospital, got pneumonia in hospital. I was there for 2 weeks, obviously no visitors during COVID, and, you know, the realization set in, the time to think, and obviously I think Simone had time to think about it too. What would they do if I was gone? And I think that's what sold the seed. There's no one particular. I have the most beautiful owners. I have plenty of horses to keep me in business, but like I said, I just made it. I think I probably made a call very shortly after that accident that, you know, family first, you know. That's basically the story.
Nothing like a near-death experience to make you have a think.
Oh, God, you know what? I've had horses, as you know, if you work with them long enough, they kick you, they bite you and do everything. But that day, I've never known. And the doctor who looked after me beautifully at Frankston Hospital, he said to me, well, you know, you tell me what speed the horse was going. I said, well, it looked like it was going even time. So it's going, you know, 45 k's an hour. Same as being hit by a car, you know. And it really shook the life out of me for a while. And, I came out of it fine, health-wise, but certainly left its mark in my head, I'd say.
What's your greatest memory in your 10 years here? I know my greatest memory of you is Simon Ockstrom winning at Balnarring in front of 10,000 people at the picnics.
Do you know what? Matt, I've trained good winners in town, and like you said, you've seen me some of them days. One of my most enjoyable days was Summer Ockstrom winning a Healesville Cup, and owners just as excited as if they'd won a group race at Flemington. Talking about the picnics, you know, I grew up going to points and that on the weekend with my dad, so I always, that summer we're talking about, I realised very quickly I took a horse who had good ability there, who was out of form, and the bookies put up $4.50. I think I had the biggest bet I've had in Australia on, and I was allowed on. So that was, I realised very quickly, well, there's a positive to going to the picnics, because you could have as much as you wanted on in a big ring. So that was always good. But certainly Sophia's Choice, good fillies I've trained. Esposito Gold, Weather the Storm, Madam Gangster, Sophia's Choice. But you know what, Matt, I have no highlight. I just train for wonderful people, wonderful horses, and wonderful staff. And it's just been great fun.
As much as a horse nearly killed you when he crashed you through a fence at Mornington, are you going to miss the... Every person I talk to in horse racing who moves away, they don't miss the racing, but they miss the animal?
Yeah, I own a broodmare or two, generally. I've always tried to, so hopefully we can keep earning enough that we can dabble in that. And, listen, I don't know. My daughter's talked about maybe having a pony or something like that, but I'm not going too far from the industry, I have no doubt. Managing Celine is going to be great fun and great excitement, but there'll be hopefully a few other things come my way. We can work a few things in together. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm ready to just... I can't wait to get my teeth stuck into that side of it with Celine, but, you know, we'll see what comes up. You know, I'm actually a bit different from... You know, you get a lot of trainers who've come up through the ranks in the stables, this and that. I'm a bit different. I went to college and travelled the world with on studs first, and then I've worked on all the office stuff. I had a great time. I must thank Robbie Griffiths for the opportunity. When I came to Australia, I got a job casually at Ryza, and Robbie Griffiths rang one day and asked, would there be anyone that know the way around horses, but also know the way around a computer? And someone put my name forward. I went and met him that day and had a very happy 2 years there after that. So, yeah, I think I've realised over the years that there's a lot of different careers and jobs in this industry, and hopefully we can hang around the horses too.
Too right, and not all of them require getting out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you'll be the only horse trainer who's ever been able to be good at computers and horse training at the same time.
Well, some would argue I wasn't, but anyway, it's been a great fun.
Now, are we going to hang out at Balnarring over summer, or...?
I only live around the corner in Bitton, so Balnarring's my... The Mornington trainers will tell you, when there's ever a query about the ground for trials or anything, I get to the dog stadium, do a lap and check it out. It's only a stone's throw, so yeah, I'll certainly be there. You know, I've met a lot of my own. You know, when you go on that circuit, you meet the same people, and Yes, it's a very enjoyable day, isn't it, Matt?
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, who's going to tell the quaddy story, you or Glenn Ingram? The beautiful thing that sometimes happens on radio, Robert, is you get a nice segue from time to time. And
yeah,
we're segueing from you into the trial files with Glenn Ingram. And Glenn Ingram said, huh, Robert Kingston? Oh, do I know about Robert Kingston? Do you want him to tell the quaddy story or do you want to tell the quaddy story?
Well, I'll tell it. He'll probably embellish it or he'll add a bit to it or take a bit off it. What was I doing? So I'd been to Australia, moved back home. My dad is a publican, so we had a very big pub in Ireland, and I went home and ran it for a few years. And during that time, Glenn was travelling and stayed with us, and we had some good fun. He likes, as we learned then, he likes a pun, likes his golf, and we had great fun together. But I came back out. My eldest son, Connor, was turning one, and we came out to Australia for a holiday, and it coincided with the Melbourne Spring Carnival, as we'd always tried to do when we were going to Australia from Ireland. So on Emirates Stakes Day, I was invited to Gerry Ryan's box at Flemington. And my son, when he was here, he was only 1 year old, he got quite ill, and my wife couldn't come. So I rang Gerry. I said, listen, I'm going to be on my own. He said, oh, bring someone. I don't care. We're going to have fun. So I brought my brother-in-law, and I said to my brother-in-law, we're going into this box. I don't want to be in there punting all day. I said, why don't we do a quaddy together? He said, how much are you going to spend? I said, I'll just do it for $100 and then I won't be on the tote machine all day. So anyway, he wouldn't join me, much to his regret. Anyway, I picked out my numbers before I went in, done it nice and quick, as we do, Matt, just put 4 or 5 in each leg.
No messing about, straight in, yep.
Yeah, we just picked, whether it was a jockey we liked or a horse we liked, there wasn't much thought went into it. And it actually worked out that the $95 was 100%. Anyway, long story short, I do know the names of all the horses. Stephen Arnold's mum's horse won. Was that called Undue?
Undue, the Darwin horse, yep.
Yeah, Kieran McAvoy fell earlier in the week on another horse that I put in, and someone had to ride it overweight, so it drifted from 16-1 to 50-1 on the day. Anyway, the last leg of the quaddy, we're going. We have 4 in it, 42,500, 34,500, 16.5, and 8.5 were the approximates.
Yep.
The first 4 came around the corner. Them 4 came around the corner in front. They pulled clear of the rest. And lo and behold, the outsider won, and we collected $42,500.
And Glenn Ingram was left on the shelf.
Yeah, and the only good thing the first good thing I've ever done in my life, I was going home to Ireland 2 days later. I collected it. I think Glenn was with me. We collected the check at Berwick Tab. And on the Monday morning, we drank all day on Sunday. And on the Monday morning, I deposited in a NAB account and left it because I knew I was going to move back to Australia at some stage when the kids were school age. So when I arrived, I had the deposit for my house. And as I said, that's probably the only sensible thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, leaving Glenn Ingram out probably wasn't a bad idea either. Actually, he's actually on the line as well. Let's bring him in on that story. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Matty. Good morning, Robbie. How are you?
Does that all ring true, that story from Gerry Ryan's box at the footy?
It does, but what he forgot to mention was I think he asked me to pay for parking at the pub.
And therefore that would parlay into you having a legitimate share of the quaddy dividend, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly, Matt. Is it reciprocal?
You hung out at the Kingston pub in Ireland for quite some time, did you?
Yeah, it was brilliant, Matty. I was there for a few months. We were drinking, betting, playing golf. I tried to get a job, but I was more interested in drinking and betting at the time, and the cash burn was significant, so I had to get out of there.
Robbie,
Matt, it wasn't a great place to stay, considering we owned the betting office next door as well. So he was kind of snookered. If he turned left, he went to the pub. If he turned right, he went into the betting office.
I can't believe he ever escaped with those things in place. Hey, Robbie, I better move on to our trial files. It's always been great hanging with you at the races. It sounds like you're doing this with a spring in your step and you're looking forward to, and I imagine the kids are wrapped to have Dad back as well. So good on you. Good luck with Celine, and I'm sure that the building blocks will continue as you forge a life away from training, and well done with what you've achieved.
Matt, sincerely, thanks very much to everyone for this part of my career. But as I said, we'll be in touch soon and looking forward to it.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you.